Okay, let me pray for Helen as she speaks to us this morning. Father, thank you for Helen, for gifting her with the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of you, Lord, to speak truth on your behalf. We pray that your word would flow through her this morning, that it would impact us, that it wouldn't return to her empty, and it wouldn't return to you empty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Morning. Yay, people are awake. It's that, you know, you get a first sunny weekend of the year and you think no one will come. They're all going to go out and enjoy that. I'm going to be speaking to myself. So actually, it's really nice. It feels like a good crowd. So we're in the middle of a series on looking at the practices that help our spiritual walk, the practices where we emulate Jesus and the other heroes of the faith to make sure that our walk with God is healthy and remains constant. It's about loving God with our whole heart and loving other people as an expression of that. So, let me ask you a question. If you look at these two, and I was to tell you, one of them you have to say, I am never going to eat ever again. How many of you would say, okay, I'll give up chocolate? Have a look round. How many people? If you say, put your hands down. If you say, okay, I'd give up crisps, look around the room. Again, put your hands down. We're not all the same. And we know we're not all the same in our original design, but actually there are groupings of things that some of us have a preference for. We clearly have more of a salty, savory preference this morning. Usually it's the other way around. You can do the same thing and say, would you give up coffee or tea? Would you give up ice cream or something? Because we all have preferences that other people maybe they're not so important for. Let me tell you about my friend. She was my prayer partner in Egypt. We would meet every week to share, to pray, to do accountability, to chat through things. She was a mature Christian. She was involved in some great ministry. Her husband was the leader of one of the English-speaking church congregations. She had a regular quiet time and read her Bible in the morning. She prayed. She fasted on occasions. Everything seemed to be all very well connected, but she was feeling really quite dry. Her spiritual walk felt really together on this hand, but just felt dry. So we did a bit of a spiritual review together, both of us, not just her. And we used this as well as some other materials. It's okay, you'll get it on a sheet at the end, this book. And she discovered something quite important for her spiritual life. When we were living in Egypt, everything is pretty beige. The streets are all sandy and dusty. The buildings are sort of a beigey-grey concrete colour. The sky is a sort of yellowy-beigey colour. It's never blue. There isn't much in the way of parks. None of the flats have a garden with a lawn. It's too hot. There's not really flowers and plants around. You've got a brown Nile River that goes through the middle. You know, there's no mountains with snow on the top. There's no waterfalls. There's no... It's just not like that. And she discovered through what we looked at that part of her spiritual connection with God is through nature and creation. And it just wasn't being presented in front of her in a way that she could connect on a regular basis with God. I'm not saying there's no creation of God in Egypt. There is. But for her, she just wasn't finding what she needed. So what she did was saying, okay, how can I do that? I live here. What can I do? So she made a little corner in her flat. She found, this is not easy to do, trust me, she found some houseplants and put them in the corner. And she got some postcards and she printed out some photos from home of landscapes and scenery and plants and whatever. And she put them all in this corner of her flat. And she moved her quiet time and her prayer time to that corner. Hey presto, new life. And that's such a simple, simple thing. And she just hadn't realized that nature and creativity and the outdoors of seeing that was important for her connection with God. All of us enjoy the outdoors. Most of us enjoy the outdoors. But it isn't an important part of our connection with God. But for her, it was. And for me, not at the same time that I processed with her, but for me, my best way of connecting with God takes a bit of time. And when it's really, really busy, it gets squeezed. Now I'm aware of when that happens and I know what I can do about it. But for a long time, I thought, hang on a minute. I'm still doing all those, a bit like Angela, I'm still doing those spiritual disciplines, those practices. I'm doing them. Why is it not working? It's because I hadn't found not the discipline, the practice that worked, but my style of connecting with God, that somewhere along the way you need to make time or a way of happening. Now, we're all a mixture. We're all a blend of different things. But you might find you have one or two really prime ways that you just need to make sure you always have time for and maintain. Great to explore the others. I'm going to put them on the screen in a minute. Really good to explore the others. You might find things that you never know worked well for you. And you might find others like me, then I go, really? People connect to God in that? I don't get it. And that's okay. We're different. So, let me run down them. These are 9 ways that are suggested that you might want to explore making sure your connection with God is good. I'll give you a handout with them at the end. So, the mind. These are people who love to read and study the Word. I could think of people in the room who this applies to. They like to... You're not laughing, are you, Alice? They love to wrestle. They love to look at patterns, the theological big picture. They love to be in a discussion group that wrestles through truth. It's a really important way for them to be able to do that. They love to train people in the Bible. That is a way of connecting with God. We all need to do a bit of this, but that is their prime way. Without that, they become a bit dry. Action. We all should be involved in some sort of serving others and social action. But for some people, this is their connection with God. When they are standing up for social justice or engaged in doing those things which are trying to bring the kingdom, that is their expression of connecting with God. And if they're in a place when they're just supposed to be praying and reading and doing that, it just doesn't flow. Oh, let me go back. So let me tie these into the Bible. I've put them on my sheet in a different order. Oh, no, I haven't. Creation. If you're a creation person, then the Psalms is a great place to find God in creation. The creative people, there's an eye of faith through which you see God and the world, and it ties together. So the way that Jesus uses pictures of nature in his parables reflects that creation connection. Jesus is reflected through all of these, as we'd expect. He's a full expression of humanity, so he does all of them. He's not always the best example, therefore, for you to get what it is. The mind, Solomon sought wisdom. He sought through scripture and he sought through other ways to do that. And the Levites were set apart to study and to teach the people. So they're 2 examples of mind connection people. Nehemiah is an action person. He built the walls whilst also connecting with God. And Elijah and his confrontation and challenging the worship of idols, Elijah is an action person. He does other things as well, but that a connection with God, of an expression of his connection with God, Elijah is an action. Senses people. They are people for whom their 5 senses are important. So they may be very artistic. They may love color. They may set up things which are very sensate. Incense might be important. Music is important. All of those things are sensate connections with God. And without those, something very dry and just a Bible study might not work for you so well. Ezekiel definitely expresses his connection with God through a whole pile of the senses. Heart people. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus is a heart-type connection. It's a very contemplative, imaginative, feelings type of connection. There's more things in here about how you might do that, but Christian meditation, using imagination, using that sitting in an inactive way, but that how do I best find my heart connection with God? That you're a heart person. That's me, actually. That's my one. Tradition. This is not a boring, dry something. If you are a tradition person, don't think, oh, I shouldn't really do this. I should be in a church that looks like this. That's not what it means. A tradition person is someone for whom the power of the connection of God through whole of history, through, you know, his story from the beginning, through all the people, through everything is important, and celebrating the ritual of that and the richness of it. So communion might be really important for you because it's a symbolic representation of something that's a regular rhythm of tradition. Abraham is an example of this. He built altars everywhere he went to remember what God did. Traditioners also love the word in terms of the richness, so may really appreciate some of the older writings of Christian mystics and prayers that have been repeated. Liturgy can be important because the richness of the word draws you deeper into God. Ezra is also a traditionalist because he wanted to read the scriptures to the people on a regular basis. Emptying. So this is where the fasting people, the people who like space and silence, Esther, is this you? The people who like to withdraw, the people who like to find space and simplicity in order to connect with God. This is where you fit. John the Baptist is your example of this. And Daniel, during his fasting, is an example. Caring people. Martha, I know she was challenged in the Bible, but Martha is an expression of caring for others. And Mordecai, if you don't know who Mordecai is, you need to read the book of Esther in the Old Testament. Mordecai is an example of a carer. He expressed his love for God and his connection with God and the way God was going to work through people, through his caring, not only for Esther, but for the whole Jewish people in that place. And celebration. I'm really sorry if these aren't in the right order. Celebration people. These are people who love to party. They love to praise God. They love to be expressive. They love to be very external and draw people into it. But they also love mystery. They are very comfortable with the mystery of God. And therefore, in quite a lot of the charismatic, supernatural end of things, this is where that gets expressed. So you might find yourself, or you might not, in some of those, and it might take a little bit of thinking. So my talk this morning really is pointers. It's less of a talk and more of pointers for you to go away and do. I'm not going to give you the answers. These are things to take away. I'm not going to spend much time on it, but I want to give you a reminder that our stages of life make a difference to our spiritual walk. When you are a young single person and have this time but these commitments at these times of the day, this is what can work for you and this is what can't. When you are a parent with very small children, those things don't work and these things might. When you've got to a different stage and maybe you're traveling a lot for work, those things don't work and these things do. We can't walk in a place of looking back to the past and thinking, oh, I really wish it was like that. Or comparing with someone else and think, well, they're all right because they've got this. Actually, we're in the place that God has put us and we need to find the best way to walk in that and recognize that actually this different stage that maybe we feel a bit squeezed is an opportunity for growth. We learn more about how we connect with God sometimes when we're in a limited time than when we've got more time and it feels freer and easier. So don't ignore your stage of life, but I don't think I could at all stand at the front and help you to think about what you should do in this stage of life. Just be conscious and don't resent it and don't find it a burden, but try and find the best of that stage of life. This is a little bit of an expression. And it doesn't show up very well. What does it look like on the left? The grass needs a cut. It's really not very tidy. I couldn't find a really good picture, okay? It doesn't look very bad. I know it doesn't, but I couldn't find a good one. It just needs a bit of a manicure. It needs tidying, okay? Now can you see it? Okay, so this is the after. I quite like it when it looks like that one on the left. And when I've done it, no, I don't want to do it. I said I like it when it looks like that. But there are things now. You know, when I've cleaned the bathroom, I think I've done it. And I'd quite like it if life worked like this. When I've done that job that I don't really like, I'd like it to stay like that. I don't want to have to do it again. I find it really frustrating that things like washing up and cleaning and the garden and whatever, they keep coming around again. I don't like it. I don't want that. I don't find it very helpful. And that's a bit of an expression. I like change, but I like the change that I want. So I'm very happy to go in the garden. If it's all tidy and done, I'm very happy to do planting because that feels like positive change that I'd like to bring. What I don't want to do is have to go back and do the tidying that I'd already done 2 weeks before. I don't want that. I don't like it very much. That's just an expression of my nature. That is who I am. Some people are very happy with that. You know, I like to make everything clean. And they quite like the process of doing that. Some people actually just want to sit in the garden and relax and enjoy it. And they don't really care about that. We're all just that little bit different. Now, the reason I put this one up is that as well as having those styles of connecting with God, and we have stages of life, there are spiritual seasons that come in our life that we need to be aware of. We don't choose them. They don't go in order like in the Bible, but there are seasons. And seasons are mentioned in the Bible. The word season is mentioned 26 times. And then each, you know, winter, summer, autumn, spring are also mentioned individually. And they're used not only as a reflection of the fact that God made creation and the year and how that changes, but they're also used metaphorically to suggest different things that happen within those seasons, what people do, what happens for us spiritually, and a picture of other things. So they are also something to be aware of. So the top one, that person is like a person, like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. It doesn't yield its fruit out of season until we get to Revelation. At this point, it yields its fruit in season. The next one, we know this very well, Ecclesiastes, there is a time and a season for everything. They don't all happen at the same time, and we can't make them happen. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons, and deposes kings and raises up others. Their things change. I'd quite like them to stay in one season and just be there and stay tidy, but they don't. And it says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out. There must be out of season times. Are we in tune with them? Are we aware of them? Are we taking account of it in our spiritual walk? Okay. What might the spiritual seasons look like and feel like? And do you have a preference? And how do you live in the ones which aren't your preference? I'm going to start with winter. If you're in a spiritual winter, it could feel quite tough. It can feel quite isolating. God may feel a little distant. It can feel like a time when nothing really much is going on. You can't plant, there's no fruit. But actually, it's a really important time of retreat with God, of abiding in God, of letting him go down deep. That's the time when potentially your biggest transformations happen, as when you have a spiritual winter. Sometimes they reflect in your real life as well, but sometimes they don't. And you just have to recognize that you're in that point of winter. Unless it says in the Bible, unless a seed dies, it won't come back again. The winter is that time of the death of what was before and then something new coming to life. But that hibernation, sleeping, resting period has to come for the new to follow. I don't need to change the slide. We're all on the same slide. Spring. Spring. What would spring represent to you? New life. What else? Hope. What do you think you do? What are the activities of spring? Planting. Starting new things, ideas, Yes, there is some rains. You might need a little bit of shelter from the spring rains, but they're blessing rain. All of those things are activities that spiritually fit in that period of time and will have an expression out into how you live life and how you do things. Autumn. Pruning. But small pruning. Winter's the bigger pruning, but yeah, autumn is pruning. What else? What comes first at the very beginning of autumn? Harvest. The beginning of harvest is fab. You get the beginning of the fruit in the summer. Why did I go from spring to autumn? We'll go back to, do you know that's how spiritual seasons can go? You don't go in order. You can go from winter, and then you can go to autumn, and then you can go to summer, and then you can go back to autumn. They don't follow. They don't go in nice 3-month patterns, so you know what they're happening. Your winter could be 2 years, and that's okay. They can be much shorter, they can be much longer. Okay, let's go back to autumn. You have the harvest and you collect the fruit, and then you need to give thanks for it. So it's a Thanksgiving season. It's a storage season, so you're storing up things and collecting future seeds for the next season, but also storing the fruit that you gathered. And then, yes, there's a time of a little bit of tidying up, putting things away, clearing the leaves, and a bit of pruning. And then back to summer. How many people think that they would really love the summer season? Do you know, this is my least favorite spiritual season. I really struggle with the summer season. I didn't know that until I found myself in the summer and thought, I don't really know what to do in it. I don't get it. And I've had to work really hard to know how to walk a spiritual summer well. It's just, I don't know what to do in it very well. It's just not very natural. This doesn't happen in the natural. I love the summer. I love the heat. I love the sun. But spiritually, summer is a very free-flowing season. It kind of just happens. There's sort of some tending over here and watching things over there, and it kind of just flows. And it's not active enough. I don't know what to do in it. I quite like spring when there's lots of active planting and ideas and whatever. And I quite like the going deep and resting and abiding in the winter and thinking, yeah, God's doing really hard stuff. I know this is tough, but it's great for me. I don't know how to walk the summer very well. Liz Treloar loves the spiritual summer. She does it amazingly well. So if you want to know about spiritual summers, go and talk to Liz when she's well, because she loves it. It's her best season. And this is how we're different. So for me, I've had to learn to stop things. I've had to recognize that there is a time, it's resting in a different way. There's a sort of, I want to start the new ideas all the time. I want to do the some things. You can't. You can't do that in the summer. I'd like to rush ahead. You get the first buds of an apple and I'd like to pick them because that's something you do. But you can't. You can't prematurely pick fruit. Nor can you say, right, well, I'm going to go and wake the animals up now because I'm a bit bored. You can't do that. You know, if they're in a hibernation in the winter, you need to let them hibernate. You've got to do the right things in the right seasons and recognize, because your connection with God will work. Okay, so I've talked about style. I've talked about stages of life briefly. I've given you some thoughts on the seasons. Let me see what my next slide is. Brilliant. I'm then really quickly going to give you a pointer on scope. So right at the beginning, Alice shared a picture of the different spiritual practices or practices of Jesus or spiritual disciplines or whatever you want to call them. She shared that with you from something that John Mark Comer shared last year. And they were on a grid. So they were on a grid. So the things in the top half boxes are all about engaging, doing things. And in the bottom half, they're all about not doing things, withdrawing things, not withholding in a negative way, but stopping things for good reasons. And then on the left, there are things that you do on your own. And on the right are things that you do in community. Now, the one that Alice shared with us and John Mark Comer shared just had a few dotted around. And before we heard those talks, I had been thinking about spiritual practices and thinking, do you know what? I pretty much do all my worship in a group. There has got to be something that is about worship on my own. And I play worship songs in my headphones when I'm walking around in Easton. That's not quite the same. There has to be more to it than that. And it's not just, you know, playing worship music while I'm washing up in the kitchen and doing a bit of might do. Just think that recorded. There's got to be more to it. So I've been exploring in the last sort of 8 months or so, what does worship look like for me on my own? What's the fullness of what worship is? You might find that you stay in one segment or have a couple of things in different areas, but you really are not exploring the fullness of this. Pray and see where God is drawing you, not because it's things that you love, but maybe it's the things that you're not doing or the things that you really struggle with and you might want to explore. Let me explain the arrows. The things that are in arrows pretty much are opposites to each other all the way round. So they are a reflection this way and this way. So, for example, you could do one-to-one ministry work. That's you're engaging, but you're doing it on your own. You could do silence and solitude. You are by yourself. You're not engaging anyone, but you're maybe praying for that person for your ministry. You could be in the engaged in community on this side, and doing the action in a group of people with social action. Or you could be down in the bottom time and you're in a group of people. You're not doing the ministry, but you're praying for the ministry. So that's four quadrants of different ways of doing it. The ones in the middle, they are really only opposites this way and this way. They don't work the other way. It's quite difficult to do. If I say podcasts on your own is a way of listening to the word by yourself, not in community. I don't know how you do abstaining from podcasts as the opposite. So there are some things on there that have no opposites because I couldn't think of them. Okay? Now, this talk right at the beginning, Chris has put it on as balance. Have you heard me talk about balance at all? No. I'm going to tell you why. I have increasingly been challenged by the fact that I don't think, over the last few years, that I don't think we are called to find balance. When you look at the word balance in the Bible, it is only used as a weight to see if we are honest. Balance is not there. Do we find that God is, I'm having my balance, I'm having a just day, and now it's a merciful time? I don't see that. God is fully just and fully merciful. He is both and, not balance. That doesn't mean to say there aren't times when there's more of an expression of this and less of an expression, but I don't feel that God is saying, this is a time when you do this, and then we stop that, and I've got my schedule, and then there's a time that I don't think it's like that. I think we are both and. Now, I'm not going to talk anymore about this because I'm still on my journey of exploring what that looks like and how to live it. But I want to leave that with you to take away and say, how is God calling you not to have a rigid routine or a rigid approach or a balanced 20 minutes of this or 2 days of this and 3 months of this? I don't think that's what God is. I think he calls us to explore. And yes, we're limited. Yes, we're human. We can't be fully this and fully that in the same way that Jesus could. However, he puts his spirit within us to do more than he did. We must be able to explore how God wants us to be both and. Do you want me to lead into the next bit? Okay, enough of giving you pointers. Sorry, a book if you want to look at seasons, that's a good one on spiritual seasons. It's on the handout. I'm going to stop there. I've got some handouts with all that information on that you can, on your tables, think by yourself, have a bit of a ponder at the Bible passages that are on there, chat with the person next to you and say, I'm really struggling, will you just pray with me? Chat to the person next to you saying, can we pray for each other and just listen for God so that he'll reveal to us which season I'm in and what I could do about it? And then, after about 5 minutes or so, Kate and the group are going to come and start leading worship. You can stay where you are and carry on doing that. You can join in the worship when you're ready. You can say, I am a totally celebration praise person. I want to get straight in there now. So between now and 12 o'clock, we are free to engage with this, with each other, and with the worship. And then Jonathan will remind us when it's time to collect kids.